We're honored to have Bob Koppel, who is the president of Ascensia Via Christi Hospital. Bob, thank you for joining us here this morning.
Oh, you bet, Dave.
We've been getting a lot of updates, obviously, from Raleigh County Health Department Director Julie Gibbs, and I know that we won't have any updated numbers from the Kansas Department of Health and Environment, which yesterday's report had the number of cases in Kansas up to 55, but we received word here the other day that we had a positive case here in Manhattan, and a K-State faculty member that many of us that are involved in broadcast and journalism are quite familiar with, Andrew Smith. I know he's being taken care of there at the hospital, and I know that you're restricted as to a lot of details that you can provide us due to the HIPAA Act. But I think one of the things we'd like to do is get a little perspective from you this morning on how things are at the hospital and if you're getting quite a bit of demand there so far.
Well, actually, the last several days, things have been relatively calm and quiet at the hospital. And a big piece of that is just our efforts to actually reduce and put on pause a number of services. So, for example, by not doing elective surgery cases, by not doing elective procedures, by not even doing some elective diagnostics and some for outpatient services, we're doing that for two reasons. One, to intentionally drop our volumes so that we have additional capacity. And I know, for most organizations, you kind of scratch your head and say, why are you doing that? But it really is just to create capacity. We know from what, you pay attention to what happens elsewhere. And so we know that we're actually still several weeks out, most likely, from an actual volume surge into the hospital. But you've got to take the preliminary steps. And a piece of this actually is our way of helping with the distancing or keeping people apart. So, actually things are good. We continue to see people who are concerned with symptoms, but so far there's only been one person in the community who actually was at the point where they required hospitalization.
How is the morale of your staff at this point? Are they? I know you say things are fairly good, and I know that there's some concerns up in the Kansas City area that hospital staff is feeling somewhat overwhelmed. And what I gathered from your comments here this morning is that that's not necessarily the case, but obviously there's a great amount of concern.
Oh, I think everybody's concerned because our staff care about the people in our community. I think that part of the difficulty, actually somebody described this to me as like waiting for a hurricane, because it's coming, you just don't know exactly when or how strong the wind is going to blow when it gets here. So I think we continue our readiness efforts, continue to do training. There is just an onslaught of new information every day, either from the CDC or the KDHAE or other places that we've got to then disseminate to our 500 staff and make sure everybody understands that we now do this instead of what we told you should do 2 days ago. And so, a lot of that actually is what takes so much of the time. It's just trying to coordinate all the information and making sure that we're getting that out to people.
How are your supplies for testing kits and ventilators and it seems more importantly, masks?
Well, so there's the personal protective equipment. So you hear us use the term PPE. That's probably the biggest concern going forward, because I think you can never have enough once you're in the volume surge. So at this point, actually, we continue to get our allocation from our suppliers. We are trying to kind of stockpile that because we know once we get to a surge volume, we're going to use more than what we would normally do. Again, that's been one of the key reasons to, for example, stop doing an elective surgery. And by doing that, you're saving 4, maybe 6, or even up to 8 sets of PPE. And so that's why it's been so important. And, our organization last Monday met with our chief of staff and the head of our surgery department. Dr. Rosso had sent a note out to all the surgeons in the community that afternoon saying, we need to immediately, all of us, look at our cases that we have on the docket, and we need to start pulling them off. And it was all about conservation. Because I think that's just a key issue. And we immediately saw our community physicians taking action, because they definitely, I think, understand the importance of being prepared, conserving the resources that we have, knowing that we're going to need them and knowing that they, as providers, are going to need that equipment here in the coming weeks and months.
We're speaking today with Bob Koppel, the president of Ascension Via Christi Hospital here in Manhattan. And Bob, I, you know, addressing to what you had just commented, I heard an interview last night with an official from a hospital in New York City that they were utilizing on a daily basis about 4,000 masks prior to the coronavirus situation there. And now they're using more than 10 times that, in the neighborhood of 45,000 masks. I've seen a number of people address the mask shortage themselves by sewing some of their own. And that could be very, very popular for a lot of people that aren't necessarily going out and can't get masks in a local store.
There are certain things that just cloth masks can help with. You know, if you dial back the clock 40, 50 years, that's all we had. We didn't have all this disposable stuff. The cloth typically doesn't have all the filtration capabilities that some of the masks that we use now do. But it can certainly be a protection of like an actual N95 mask. And in some cases, that will depend on how they're made. Those actually potentially would provide at least some reassurance and, you know, some protection from droplets and other spray or, you know, stuff getting on you. And so I think, again, that would be a positive thing for some people.
Certainly.
It's, you know, just we go back to, actually heard somebody say yesterday, we really need to do physical distancing, but we need to keep our social connections. And I think that's really a key thing for us just to understand. This is the time to stay home. If you have to go out, you just got to keep that 6-foot physical distance between other people. But don't forget the importance of social connections. And especially with some of our older folks who have been now in isolation, you know, at a nursing home or in their own home for a couple weeks, it's really important that we are reaching out to them, calling them on the phone, using FaceTime or WhatsApp or some sort of technology to make sure that we don't lose the social connections, because that is really key in all of it.
Bob, we might recap some of the symptoms potentially of the coronavirus.
Pretty consistently, and you know, we're now reading about a few other things, but pretty consistently, if you're running a temperature over 101.4, if you have cough, and then you also are starting to have difficulty breathing. So it's kind of that temp fever, cough, and difficulty breathing. If you've got those three symptoms, especially simultaneously, that's the time when, you know, I would first start with calling the phone line, our screening line here in the community, the 785-323-6400, and talk to one of our healthcare professionals. And depending on then how that conversation goes, you may end up needing to reach out to your primary care office or go to an urgent care. Or if your symptoms are very significant and severe, the person on that screening call is going to send you to our emergency room. But, you know, again, you just kind of self-triage up, make the screening call, get some advice from that healthcare professional, and I think you'll be a little more confident on your next step forward.
Anything else that you'd like to convey to our residents this morning, Bob?
Well, you know, probably should explain. So Julie Gibbs, who's head of the health department, and I, we're kind of splitting up duty. So you'll be hearing from me in the morning and then Julie in the afternoon every day to give some updates. And that way we'll hopefully get information out pretty consistently.
Excellent. And we certainly appreciate the efforts of both of you, as well as David Adams, for helping to coordinate some of this initially. And we'll look forward to seeing, hearing more from you in the mornings. And we'll have another report this afternoon at 5 o'clock with Julie Gibbs with the Riley County Health Department. So that's a wise way to spread things out.
Oh, you bet.
Bob Koppel, president of Ascension Via Christi Hospital here in Manhattan. Thank you for joining us this morning, and we hope you and yours and all your staff there stay safe and keep well, not to mention everybody else in the community.
Thanks, Dave.
You are certainly welcome. Thank you. We're continuing these updates here at News Radio KMAN once again at 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. every day. So we encourage you to join us, and also we'll have this interview online here in just a few minutes as well. I'm Dave Lewis, News Radio KMAN, with this coronavirus update from Manhattan Broadcasting and our Riley County Health Partners.